You are listening to the Effective Statistician Podcast, the weekly podcast with Alexander Schacht and Benjamin Pieske, designed to help you reach your potential, lead great science, and serve patients without becoming overwhelmed by work. Today we are talking about what Benjamin and myself learned from over 100 episodes that we recorded over 2 years. It's more than 2 years and more than 100 episodes ago that we started this project of the Effective Statistician Podcast. And there's a lot of learnings that you can benefit from and will make it really, really nice and actionable for you. So stay tuned for this really nice episode. And if you want to connect further, join the LinkedIn group of the Effective Statistician and follow me on LinkedIn. This podcast is produced in association with PSI, a community dedicated to leading and promoting the use of statistics within the healthcare industry for the benefit of patients. Join PSI today to further develop your statistical capabilities with access to the ever-growing video on demand content library, free registration to all PSI webinars, and much, much more. The reduced rate is just £20 for non-high-income countries and £95 for high-income countries. Visit the PSI website at psiweb.org to learn more about PSI activities and become a PSI member today. Welcome to a new episode of the Effective Statistician, and this one is a very special episode, and I'm recording this like usual with Benjamin. Hi Benjamin, how are you doing?
Hi Alexander, very well, thanks. Yeah, it is indeed very, very special. I mean, it is special because we are looking back on a history of about 115 or actually 114 episodes before, and we are just a little bit chatting about what the 100 episodes or more than 100 episodes actually bring for us. I mean, what happened? So what are the key takeaway messages? What are the greatest things that we experience and so on? So it's really like a looping back into time and the last 2 years. It's actually 2 years ago when we started, and so learnings from the over 100 episodes.
Yeah. It's unbelievable that I think the first episode we recorded even end of 2017, maybe. At least that is when I know that on the 21st of November 2017, I have set up a lot of the things, because then I had a workshop for setting up podcasts, and that was a one-day workshop where I invested a couple of things to set up the tools that run in the background and everything like that. So yeah, if we think from the kind of very, very first start, that's much more than 2 years. It's now publishing for more than two years, which is awesome. Yeah.
It's amazing, especially the number of episodes, and just seeing that the topics are still coming in is, you know, it's amazing. It's really amazing, you know, what a variety the episodes are covering in terms of anything related to statistics, to any related topic, to leadership. So it's amazing just looking back and scrolling through the list of episodes. Some of them I don't even remember anymore, to be honest.
And we have now listeners from all around the world. Last time I checked, we had much more than 100 countries where we have at least one listener. And to be honest, when I was scrolling through the tail of that list, I was thinking, first time that I hear about that country. And I would have never assumed someone, you know, in these Himalayan countries to download our episodes. It's really, really interesting. And it's, of course, yeah, lots of listeners from the US, lots of downloads from there and from different European countries, but also China, India, Australia, various countries in South America. When we look into the overall landscape, there's there's only a couple of white spaces or spots left on the map where nobody has listened to our podcast, which is quite
Antarctic.
Quite fantastic. So let's go into 9 learnings from these more than 100 episodes that we recorded over 2 years. And I think the first learning is actually talking already to these numbers that we just mentioned. It's, if I recall the discussions that we had before we started it, I always thought, like, wouldn't it be amazing to have 50 listeners per week and kind of basically give a usual kind of presentation at a smaller conference on a weekly basis? The things that you would usually have in these parallel tracks where at a stats conference where you have maybe 50, 60, 70 people listening. And to have that on a regular basis, I was thinking that would be awesome.
But actually, think bigger. So that's basically the first one of the key messages, takeaway messages from what we think is, you know, key is really think bigger. Don't set yourself personal boundaries or limit yourself by setting boundaries that you can easily go over. And this is not only for the podcast, it's really for the work life, for anything. It's just don't put yourself in a box and think, yeah, that's my area, that's me. But no, it's not. It could be much more. So really think bigger, think outside the box, get other people involved, get other thoughts involved, got other ideas combined, and it's not about statistics, it's about the whole picture.
Yeah, absolutely. The second thing is actually quite interesting, because the second learning is prepare for the unexpected. This episode is a quite nice case study, because we are actually recording it for the second time, because when we recorded it the first time, we had a problem with the tool,
we didn't prepare for the unexpected.
Well, we did, so to say, that we always plan with some buffer. Yeah, we never usually record kind of last minutes that we are pressured to get things out the next day or something like this. We have a couple of episodes on the buffer, and that helps us to manage, see that things happen. Yeah, interviews shift, or someone gets sick, or, you know, family life gets in the way, or there's a work priority. There's all kind of different
Corona.
Things. Corona. Oh, Corona. Yeah, it's, oh God.
Yeah, actually. No, but for this episode, we're actually double recording it. So just to make sure that that's not going to happen again. And I think moving forward, that's our standard approach, is to, you know, have double recording so that if one is, you know, not working, the other one hopefully works. So it's basically, I think there's the prepare for the unexpected is a little bit wider than just, double recording. It is really something to plan in for different scenarios, things that might happen on your way. And, as a statistician, you just see this quite often, you know, if you prepare for example, for an analysis, and then you realize a few days, like very short time, is that, you know, that you still have trouble in getting the QC done. You know, everything sorted. There are the things that need to be discussed and need to be solved before delivering. And this somehow comes to as a surprise every time. I think this is really something where we need to see, prepare for the unexpected, to really understand what could come your way. I mean, experience is one thing, but planning and really getting other people involved, preparing for whatever it is, so for anything that's within your responsibility. So really prepare, and also prepare for the unexpected.
Yeah, and very often kind of timelines might shift inwards very, very dramatically, because maybe there's a early stopping, or, you know, the recruitment is much faster than anticipated, and, you know, the organization that was managing the timeline had so much buffer built into it that they sandboxed it so much that now they come as a surprise. Ah, oh, we are 3 weeks early. Welcome. And you think, oh, now I need to really, really hurry up. So I think it's always good to plan for the unexpected. And yeah, usually things take longer than we think. Have some buffer in the system is a really good advice.
Mm-hmm. Well, the third point is I like that one, is to delegate what you are not good at or what you don't like. That's a good one, because I think it's not only a good advice, it's really something that makes your life easier as well, because handing stuff that you're not good at and you know that people, colleagues and others are just brilliant in. So you don't have to take everything on your desk. It's a team. It's a team approach usually, so it's rarely that you're alone on a task. And delegation is a thing that we discussed in one of our episodes before. Anyway, it's something that is really difficult for some people to do. Not because they are not allowed or then they shouldn't be doing it. It's just because they simply feel bad about it, to give work to your colleagues. But actually, there's a good reason why you delegate.
Yeah. And here for the work, for the podcast, we delegate work all the time now. So since a couple of months, we have an assistant that helps us with the writing and the editing and lots of the social media work around it. And that makes life so much easier, because now we can much more focus on the content itself. We can focus on things that we are really good at. And you probably have noticed that the artwork is much better now, because I'm just terrible at that. And Rain, who helps with that, is brilliant with it and can, do things that I would need a long, long, long time to learn to, get that.
Yeah, and also it frees you up to not things that you are, as Alexander said, you're good at. That's one thing, but also we are doing the podcast in parallel of work and family life. So, in real life, it does free you up for other things that are still, mm-hmm. Key to your personal life and or your work life. So that's why it's really good to learn to delegate and to bring in people.
And in terms of the delegation of the things that you don't like, well, I didn't really enjoy editing the podcast. It was good that I learned it, but I'm now really glad that someone else is doing it and Rain is doing that. Of course, there's certain things that you don't like that you still must do. Having maybe a difficult conversation, you can't delegate all these different things that you don't like, but there's surely things that you don't like, but others really enjoy doing. And then it's probably a good sort of have whether that a task you should delegate. And that leads us to point number four, which is having fun along the way. Because if you delegate in a wise way, you can have much more fun at work.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. I think have fun is one of the overall things. I mean, if you don't enjoy what you're doing, then that's not going to be successful in any way. Neither for your life, not for the job that you're doing. Yeah, I think that's how we usually feel. I mean, you kind of go in a meeting and you really see who people, the people that do have fun at the work, and others, that don't, or they kind of just do this because they have to do it. And that is something that you just experience when you talk or when you work with people. It's really different, and it's key for your success to have fun.
Yeah, you can just also deliver better quality work. If you have fun, you're much more likely to go the extra mile. Others that work together with you will much more likely to go the extra mile and think it through, because it's a fun work. And of course, well, we only have this one life.
Yeah.
And why not enjoying our ride through the job as well?
Yeah, that's really, I mean, that's about going the extra mile. I mean, that's the motivation that comes from, one of the key drivers for motivation is the, that you enjoy what you're doing. So
Yeah. So you get satisfaction from it, and working with people that you like is really, really important as well.
And delegation helps for that, by the way. No, I mean, just one more thought on delegation, actually. I mean, it's sometimes you're just saying, well, I do better do this myself because then it's done and then, you know, it's quicker before I tell, you know, I teach somebody to do it or whatsoever. But actually, you know, that's a little bit the think bigger. So the bigger picture is that if you don't give it away, then you'll do it the next time as well. And yep. The next time and the time after. So therefore, you know, take time, teach somebody. I mean, for example, as a statistician, you often come across things. I mean, I do programming myself. Don't worry. No, but I mean, we do have support from programming. So why not teach? Why not give that away and say, you know, it's not my responsibility. I mean, I can do it, but it's not, you know, on the long term, delegate.
Yeah. Programming is a really, really important way. I started delegating programming very, very early in my career, and that freed me up to do things that only I could do. That helped a lot with my overall career. I attribute lots of the career growth to my delegation approach. And in terms of having fun, we talked about, of course, it's great to work together. And building these relationships, that is the fifth point that was a learning. I think having a great relationship with all the different people from PSI, great relationship with the overall stats community, relationships within the companies that we work with, relationships beyond that, these all helped to shape the podcast into what it is now. Because many, many people contributed through their thoughts, through their comments, or maybe just through an email that they sent to us that kept us going and that motivated us to move forward. And if you're listening now and you think, oh, that's really, really a nice podcast, we are always very, very happy about feedback. Also the negative one, of course. Yeah. So constructive, positive, and negative. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's relationship also, you know, sometimes we call it networking. So I think it's really about building, showing your capabilities, building trust within the community, but also within the company and with others. It's not necessarily within statistics. It's really even, you know, far outside statistics. It's above statistics, it's your management system you need to present to sometimes, and so if it's the networking, it's the relationship that you're building. And we've just been off an interview with Lucy Rowell, and which was, you know, touching this topic quite a bit on what the foundation of her role and role changes was. And this is really like a living example of how networking and building the relationship and trust within a company or even outside a company is kind of a really good foundation for success.
Yeah, so now you got a little bit of a sneak preview for one of the upcoming episodes. Yeah, and also if you look back through all the different interviews that we had, this relationship networking approach very often comes up, whether it's on the business side or whether it's on the scientific side, where people work together to move forward a methodological approach. And where they help each other in that regard. Or if we think about special interest groups that are built on relationships, are built on trust, that we have a common goal that we are pursuing and we are driving forward. So, and you can reach out to lots of other people. You know, we had interview guests here from outside of statistics, we had interview guests from outside of the healthcare industry even that helped us to shape this podcast. And this is all through relationships. And of course, there's a lot about social media to be said, but it's also about this usual offline relationships of meeting at a conference, meeting at an event, having a coffee, or beer together. That's quite important.
Yeah, and I always think when we are usually talking about statistics or business or anything, or scientific, as Alexander just said, but actually, this is one of the key items also for your private life, to be honest. Yeah. If you know somebody who knows somebody, then this might help you in the future at some point as well. So it's really not only for, it's really like one of the key networking and building relationships, trust, and is one of the key items for throughout your life. So
yeah, and to be really honest, I think I wouldn't have gone that far without Benjamin.
Which is relationship and networking from old days. Yeah.
From very, very old days. So, learning number six.
Be curious
and dig deeper. I think there's always something, especially in the interviews, when we had these follow-up questions where we kind of found the gold. You know, when people were talking about something and then we talked about, kind of had these questions, can you give an example? How did that make you feel? What were the backgrounds to that? These kind of questions help them to much better explain what was going on and to much better learn and give good content to you as a listener. And I think that is something you can also utilize in your day-to-day job. Yeah, ask follow-up questions, dig deeper, both from a data side, but also on a people side. Better understand the other person that's sitting across the table or, on the other end of the phone line or the virtual meeting you're in.
Yeah, I think being curious is kind of going into the point we mentioned before with having fun. So I think curiosity is also like a big driver for motivation, and then therefore the fun of things. So really to understand things, to go outside, think outside the box, go across the common way that usually is being handled, but really trying to understand more than that. And as Alexander said, digging deeper into the counterparts, understanding of the topic or the background question, that helps a lot to sometimes differentiate also between what is driven by emotion, for example, what is driven by facts, what is what is the background, so why is this opinion being said already, and trying to understand more, digging deeper into the topic. And I think this helps. This is kind of a nature of a statistician, I would say, to really understand, trying to understand what the driver is for it. And I think this is key.
Yeah, I still remember one discussion I had with one of the students of the Effective Statistician Leadership Program. We had in this program an assignment that people, better understand their counterparts. And this statistician went then to speak to his physician and understanding how he made these dose escalation decisions. And the physician then showed him this huge Excel spreadsheet of by-patient level data that he would go through and take, that would take about a day, and he would kind of ballpark what is the safety signal there, is it okay to move forward or not. And the statistician in our program then said, I think I can help you with that. And because he was able to stay curious and learn how he's really working, he was then be able to create a Shiny app for him pretty fast, actually, and that reduced the workload for that physician on a regular basis from 1 day to 10 minutes. And probably the quality of the decision is also much better. So this is just one example of better understanding what are the processes, what are the people doing to create value, progress your career, and help others along the way.
And also, I mean, that is, you can do a double check basically on that one for yourself. What I experience is that sometimes, if you go to a meeting and you don't follow, you don't ask these questions, or you don't even, in your mind ask this question, you should just check if the work that this is connected to is that really fun for you. Do you enjoy that? Because usually you don't. That's what I found. Seriously. I mean, sometimes you just, it's kind of one of the key identifier for me. Oh, there's something going wrong. So it's not the right thing. Maybe delegation comes in place here. Or it's not the, you know, it's not my understanding. Maybe I'm not intuitive motivated. So what's wrong? So if you don't ask the questions, if you don't dig deeper automatically, then for me, it's usually a good sign of maybe I should just reconsider this topic at the moment.
Yeah. Maybe that's not the right task for you, or maybe you need to have a different approach to it. Mm. Yeah. So sometimes through curiosity, you can also find much more purpose and understanding in it. And that may in turn help you with some motivation.
Number 7.
Our community is much bigger than we think.
No, that's true. We touched it already, but it's amazing. Not only that, you know, seeing the numbers of, you know, who are potentially statisticians, but it is just from the podcast, we see this quite nicely, but this is just a fraction of what is available there. And so if you have a topic, if you have anything that's on your mind with regards to statistics, scientifically or practically whatsoever, you know, just use, like a search engine on the internet. And look out for it, and you will be amazed where, you know, statisticians are facing the same or similar problems or issues, questions, solutions, hopefully, so that you can work on. And on top of that, you know, the experience really is that the statisticians don't try to be isolated. They are looking out for the community themselves. They're happy to see somebody else is having the same questions. And so that is something what I really enjoy about the community of statisticians, is the openness and the willingness to share results, to share, you know, to work together. Different company, sometimes even competitors, are working together very closely as statisticians and really enjoy the way of the community that the statisticians can all bring in bits and pieces to really help others grow.
Yeah, because mostly we work in these pre-competitive fields, and so all these stats methodological approaches need to be published anyway to be accepted. The other thing is, it's not just enough to, you know, publish it maybe once and then, you know, think it's published. It's really important to promote it, to bring it to the bigger audience. There's so many people around the world that could benefit from it. Just an example, through this podcast, I had the chance to talk with 2 statisticians in Egypt. Hmm. Yeah, who would have thought that I would, you know, I would have never dreamt or even thought about, you know, that I would talk to some statisticians in Africa about statistics and statistics in healthcare. There might be people far beyond your horizon that might have exactly the same problems like you, and that maybe have a solution for you, or that benefit from the technical approach that you have developed, or from any other solutions. So think beyond just kind of maybe your horizon in terms of your company or your country or, you know, your area of expertise. There's so much more that is going on.
Mm. Yeah, and also sometimes it's just not that the solutions are available, but working together brings solutions, you know, much more easily and quicker than if you're isolated and working on this alone.
Okay, number 8 is an interesting one.
Yeah, it is.
As we are publishing content, we have noticed that there is quite a lot of unnecessary red tape for some companies, up to the point that statisticians are not even allowed to be interviewed by us. And then other companies are completely open with it, no problem whatsoever. Basically, no red tape involved. So there's a huge variety there. And it's not that, you know, you could say, well, the big companies are like that and the small companies are like that, or the US companies are in that way and the non-US companies are in another way. No, it has, I can't see any kind of predictor for red tapes.
Yeah, no, I think it's probably more the decision of individuals. I sometimes, you know, if, well, at least I would say that if people don't understand or don't know much about the Stats community, you know, and also not about how the podcast is working, that technically or like from what we are doing in the podcast, then it's sometimes like an individual decision of saying yes, no, maybe, but whatsoever. So kind of giving some restrictions. And I think therefore it's probably less about companies. It's more about individuals that are decision makers there. I would say it's an interesting takeaway. It doesn't have much to do with statistics at that time, but that's how differently that it is being handled from our interview guests and their companies once in a while. So, and I think, but this is kind of a more, you know, I think the more takeaway is that regardless of what we experience in the podcast, is that this is probably sometimes holding you guys or anyone back on doing something different, anything outside, any changes, anything new, because of individual stakeholders within your environment that take decisions without maybe having the background to it or understanding what it is. And this again brings in the, you know, the ability to lead, to present the necessity of changes or the of additions of and so on. So this brings a little bit this back on your desk to kind of teach them, you know, bring them the knowledge to understand why you think that the task that you are planning to do, but it's, you know, which is not allowed to you by your company, is necessary. So it's really about.
Yeah. And so it's also an explanation why certain companies are maybe underrepresented in this podcast, because it's nearly impossible to get the interviews through company internal approval system.
Yeah. We don't have a list anyway of what company. I mean, there are so many out there, so it's not going to work.
No. We don't even try to balance that out.
Not at all.
Okay. Last learning is your personal growth happens outside of your comfort zone. I think both Benjamin and myself, we stepped out of our comfort zone when we started that. It felt frightening. It felt unsure. It was really...
It was a black box.
Yeah, it was also quite even painful to listen to your voice at the beginning. And to put content out there, to be critiqued, to be reviewed. And of course, here and there you get some, you know, maybe a nasty side comment. Of course. But to be honest, the overall response is really, really positive. And whenever there was a feedback that was negative, it was usually in a very constructive and empathic way. So I need to say we have a really, really nice listenership.
Yeah, we do. And actually, yeah, no, I agree also with the comfort zone, because this doesn't, you know, for somebody like me who wasn't very much involved in podcasting before, it's scary. I mean, at the moment when you record, you just record. I mean, we have a chat. That's how we set up the whole scenario for us. But, you know, knowing that somebody is listening and then listening to it yourself live on the internet, just on the podcast player, it was a bit scary, but no, but we grow into it. And I think that's something we can take from the podcast, but you can, or everyone, including ourselves, can take this as a lessons learned from, really, for your personal, for your business life, and just, you know, understand that if you think outside, but go outside the box, that may be a very, very big advantage for you to grow into something that you didn't even expect to come, but on a positive side. So
yeah. And the same is kind of with, for example, with public speaking. For many statisticians, that is not part of their comfort zone to be on stage, but you can train yourself on that. You can, you know, speak first, maybe at smaller events, or maybe, you know, just to people that you trust and like, and expand from there. And this continuously challenging yourself helps you to push these boundaries of what's comfortable for you and what's not. And for me, for example, I very often had challenges to approach people that are, I don't know, and ask them, you know, for an interview things like that, just because I was fearful of rejection or, you know, fearful of getting something, who are you that you're asking? Yeah. These kind of comments. And I always kind of thought to myself then, okay, let's still do it. What's the worst thing that can happen? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You get a no, maybe. Yeah. Or maybe you get a bad look or something like this. Or maybe you get completely ignored. These things also happen. But still, I also got really, really nice feedback then sometimes. So there's another interview that is coming that I'm doing later this week with a really prominent author. Not conveying who that is yet. You need to stay on the podcast. This episode will come out in a couple of weeks. Who I thought, wow, that's such a prominent guy. He'll probably never give an interview to me. But he said, yeah, sure. He was actually quite interested directly. So growth happens outside your comfort zone.
Yeah, I think that's a good message now from our side for, you know, for this, for the ninth point from our list, is that whatever we discussed before, like any of the other items, this is all kind of combining into the ninth one, is to just don't stop where you are, but think bigger, you know, to just prepare things to come, curious, dig deeper, just go on, move on, and really step outside your comfort zone, because this is what's driving things forward, not personally, but also for the company and also for the job that you're doing. That's really good, kind of a final conclusion or final summary, yeah, actually, for what we said before.
Yeah, we all need to improve our skills, because we all need to have statisticians play a bigger role in our data-driven world, to make better decisions for the benefits of patients. Mm. Because in the end, all what we do is driving better healthcare, you know, whether it's through better allocation of budget or whether it's through better allocation of resources or new therapies or better therapy algorithms. There's so many different things we can do, but we as statisticians need to step up our game overall and leverage our skills so that we can have a really positive influence on the overall healthcare on the planet. Okay, that was Thinking Bigger.
Nice summary.
And with that, thanks for listening and talk to you next week.
Bye.
This show, like all recent episodes, was created in association with PSI and with the help of Rain, who helps with this show, like editing and things like that in the background. Thank you for listening. Please visit theeffectivestatistician.com to learn more about our podcast, to boost your career as a statistician in the health sector, and please tell your colleagues about this. Reach your potential, lead great science, serve patients. Just be an effective statistician.